نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. During the signs of Qiyamah, the major signs. Those are the signs which will commence with the coming of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu and will end with the blowing of the trumpet, the sur. The advent of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Mahdi in Arabic means rightly guided. Many such Mahdis will have come and will continue to come, rightly guided people. But the Mahdi who is mentioned in the hadith will make his appearance very close to Qiyamah, as foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu anha through her son Hassan radiallahu anhu. His name will be Muhammad and his father's name will be Abdullah. He will resemble Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character. He will be tall, have a bright and broad forehead, and he will have a long high-bridged nose. He will be born in Medina Munawwara and reside therein. He will emerge at the age of 40 in Makkah. A group of awliya called Abdal will recognize him while he is making tawaf, and they will pledge allegiance to him. A number of battles will be fought with the disbelievers under his rulership. He will eventually be victorious. During his reign, Islam will flourish. He will remove the treasures buried under the Kaaba and distribute them amongst the Muslims. He will first rule over the Arabs, and then the entire world will be under his rule. He will restore peace and justice to the entire world. All his actions will be in accordance to the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his lifetime, Dajjal will also appear, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend from Jannah and perform his first salah behind Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Second major sign, the appearance of Dajjal. The word Dajjal is derived from the Arabic word Dajjal, which means to deceive, to dupe, to cheat, etc. Hence, Dajjal means imposter, swindler, cheater and liar. Many such Dajjals have appeared. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be 30 liars in my ummah. Each one will claim to be a Nabi, whereas I am the seal of Nubuwat. The Dajjal mentioned in the hadith will appear during the time of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. He will be from a Jewish tribe. He will be known as Masih. He will be one-eyed. His hair will be curly. On his forehead will be inscribed the letters Kafara, Kufr, or Kafara, which the true believers will be able to read. This is the stamp of Kufr which appears on his forehead. He will go to Isfahan in Iran, where 70,000 Jews will become his followers. Here he will lay claim to divinity and spread his dissension and corruption in the earth. 2 years before his appearance, there will be a severe drought. To test the believers, Allah Ta'ala will allow him to demonstrate many supernatural feats. He will move around with a large army and pillage and plunder many lands. He will then attempt to gain entry into Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. The angels will protect Makkah Mukarrama. Hence, he will not be able to enter Makkah Mukarrama. He will then proceed to Medina Munawwara and halt in the outskirts of Medina Munawwara before Mount Uhud. Medina Munawwara during that time will have 7 gates. 2 angels will be standing guard over each of these gates, and Dajjal will be unable to enter Medina Munawwara as well. He will then travel towards the Damascus, where the Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be living. Mahdi radiallahu anhu will prepare the Muslim army to fight Dajjal. Whilst preparing for battle against Dajjal, Isa alayhi salam, resting his hands on the shoulder of 2 angels, will descend from Jannah. He will alight on the eastern minaret of the Jami Masjid of Damascus. Shall I continue? Last night in the tafsir, in the Taraweeh, the 16th juz was recited, continuing with Surah Kaf. Some ulama have mentioned that in Surah Kaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned 4 incidents, 4 people, and 4 different categories of people. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that every category of people, if they have correct ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give them comfort in this world also, success, honor, respect, dignity. The first is the youngsters who in the cave, the normal dindar, pious youngsters, for lower category, salihin, the pious people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about a person who was involved in the dunya, for lower category also, but Allah has given, he had given him wealth, and he had a lot of properties, he was a wealthy person, owner of the garden. So Allah ta'ala mentioned that. And then the third one is of a high level of piety, where a person is also in the part of knowledge, he's in the part of deen, example Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Zulqarnain, who is the outlier person of dunya, that he's the person who is, he had hukumat, rulership, but of a higher level because he's the ruler of a country, or the ruler of the different lands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned all four of them, all four categories, and a human being will fall into one of those categories. So whichever category a person falls into, he should have his ta'alluq strongly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beloved relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incident of the people of the garden I mentioned, there were two friends, and Allah ta'ala had given one of them many, many gardens, and he surrounded it with date farms, and in between was all plantations, wonderful water there, and there was no shortage of anything at all, and he had all the fruit coming out. So one day he was going with his friend and said that, you know, I've got so much of wealth, and look at my jamaat and the people who have followed, how much of honor and respect I've got in this world, love for wealth and love for name and fame he had. And when he came into his garden, he said, I don't think this thing will ever come to an end, it will ever be destroyed. And I got doubt in Qiyamah, I don't think really there is something like Qiyamah. But if there is something like Qiyamah, I'm sure I'll go there, I'll get even better than this. So his friend told him that, why are you making nashukri? Why are you just believing in Allah Ta'ala who has created you from nothing, non-existence? Then Allah made you from sand, from sperm. And Allah made you a perfect human being. And do not take any partners with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you enter your garden, why don't you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. All his strength is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat will give me something better than your garden. And both of them had money, they were given money, but one of them spent his money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this other man made all of his investments in this worldly life, in dunya. And the ulama say that the shirk which this man had here, he says, لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّيَ حَدَى. I wish I never take a partner with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't a shirk of an idol, but it was shirk fil asbab. That all the outward means of the world, he felt that the case is doing. My wealth is doing, my status is doing, my business is doing. So all of these things are asbab, and the means he had made them like his arbab. He had made them like his creator. That these are the ones who are doing. So anyhow, eventually he was, all of this completely, one night, Allah Ta'ala's azab came down, and he was completely destroyed. And now it was too late for a person. Whatever he had made so much of effort for, everything was destroyed. Hereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives an example of this worldly life, where the water is coming down, meeting up with the plantations, and eventually after a short while it turns into smithereens, the wind is blowing it away, and أَكَأَلَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, as Allah mentions in the other para, like it never existed at all, it was never in existence. So this is how this worldly life is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this whole world, وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً, the huge mountains, which are regarded as so firm, a time will come and they will be flying also, they will be moved out from the places, and you will see the whole land barren, and completely open. And man will have to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Like how we created you the first time, where you were completely naked, you had no clothing, you had no wealth, you had nothing at all. In a similar manner, Allah ta'ala will resurrect a person, who will come forward on the day of Qiyamah. The only thing which will be with us, our amal and our good actions. And as we read yesterday, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ, what is with this kitab? It hasn't left any small action, any big action, every single thing, what they have done in their lives, مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا, it will be present before a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, and the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. Ulama say many, many adab and etiquettes are mentioned here for the student of deen, the person who is studying the knowledge of deen. They have taken out up to 200 different adab and etiquettes they have taken out from this. Some very basic ones is that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, despite his age, but he still had the talab and the desire for knowledge. So no matter what age a person reaches, there is no limit. The person cannot study the knowledge of deen. Only I got a certain age I can study. But throughout a person's life, he must continue progressing in knowledge. As in the next para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 16th para, Allah mentions, it commands Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make this dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. Ulama say that the amount of knowledge Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given, no human being in the past and in the future will ever be given such knowledge. Despite this, Allah ta'ala commands Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make dua and ask Allah for an increase in knowledge. So, other points that ulama say is that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, with what sacrifice and qurbani he made, going to attain the knowledge of deen. So in the knowledge of deen, one is a person has to journey, and he must be prepared to accept all the nasaba, things which will make a person tired, especially if a person studies the knowledge of deen. There's a lot of mujahada, there's mutala, istikrar, classes, the person sometimes has to go away, the food is not the same, the environment is not the same as his house, but all the sacrifices the person has to bear in the path of knowledge. And also in the path of knowledge, when a person goes, he should look for a pious, a good ustad. Like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to seek actually for a ustad. And then to follow the ustad exactly what he tells you. to humble yourself. The ustad has got certain rules, the madrasa has got certain rules. So a person must follow all the rules and regulations of the madrasa, of that system. And if a person doesn't follow it, then the punishment can be given out, like Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam gave Musa alayhi salam. You know, he separated from him. So punishment can be given there also. And a person must humble himself, despite Musa alayhi salatu wasalam being of a higher level than Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam in piety, in knowledge, in everything. Musa alayhi salam was much more superior. But he wanted knowledge from Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, so he humbled himself. And he comes before Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam to get the knowledge of deen. And if a person shouldn't feel shy also, he should ask the ustad questions if a person is in doubt. But obviously if the ustad prevents a person, prohibits a person, then a person should not do so. So anyhow, these are some of the adab and etiquette which the ulama have mentioned much, much more. From one word in this ayah, in the surah, they have taken out Ajib Ajib, Imam Razi, etc. They have taken out amazing points regarding the talib ilm, the student of knowledge, and how he should seek knowledge, how he should have respect for his ustad. The maqsad and the one object of the story is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to mention that there is an outward system in this world and there is a hidden system behind that. We normally can only see the outward system, what is happening in the world, but behind that there is a hidden system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is working. So this is what Allah ta'ala wanted to show Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that the outward appearance according to Shariat will have to work according to the outward, but in behind every working of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there are many secrets and many things which a person doesn't understand. So we should leave our knowledge is very limited and small compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should keep our, hand over our knowledge and our intelligence, leave it everything to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if halat and conditions happen in a person's life. Then we must understand that definitely there is some wisdom, some goodness behind it, which we cannot understand, like how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam learned in this incident. Story of Zulqarnain is mentioned, a huge king. Allah had given him so much of wealth of this world, but all of that, you utilize it to help and assist other people, to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, to go around giving people da'wah towards Islam, bringing them towards the fall of Islam, and those who are oppressing people, to prevent them from causing oppression to other people. So when Allah has given a person wealth, Allah has given a person status, that this is how a person must utilize that wealth and status, not for his own worldly benefit, but how can he prepare for his akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those who have iman and amal salihah, kanat lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula. For them is Jannat, not only Jannat, the highest levels of Jannat, and they will remain there forever. لا يبغون عنها حولا. They will never desire to go away to another place. Normally in this world, man by nature gets tired. He goes to a resort, for example, he stays there for 1, 2 days, 5 days. After that he's tired, now he has to go back home. He's not comfortable after a few days. Any environment, a person goes, a new environment or some other place, the Jannat is such that a person will never desire to leave Jannat. I'm getting tired now. Enjoyment will just continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who has got hope, يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّي, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should a person do? Not to waste time in one's life. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Start doing good actions. And together with the good actions, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. Do not take any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the ibadat of Allah ta'ala. Do not do it for name and fame, or with the wrong intentions, or to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shirk al-kabir, akbar, the big shirk also. Never take a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this at the end of the surah Kaf. The next surah is Surah Maryam. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Kaf, Allah mentions His great qudrat and power, where these youngsters were saved despite all the fitness around them. Allah says, my powers are much greater. Are you surprised about this? Do you think Allah hasn't got much more power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in old age, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a child. And the object of getting a child also was, وَجَعَلُهُ, he said, oh Allah ta'ala, I want somebody to continue this legacy of mine, of knowledge which I have got. So my children must have that amount of knowledge by which they can continue and pass on the message of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَا, and Allah make him such that you are happy with him and he is happy with you. In the highest levels of piety. So it's the duty of the father to make dua for his children also, and to bring all his children onto the right path, and to make them the khadims and the servants of deen, those who establish deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about him, how Allah's qudrat was found there. And then to a greater extent, where Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah mentions in great detail about how she gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without the agency of a father. So what, how Allah ta'ala can work without asbab also, without means. And how people were accusing her, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the small child Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the cradle speak. And the first thing he said was, Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not Allah or the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. Amazing thing is in the whole Quran Sharif, there's a whole chapter regarding Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha, but nowhere in the Quran you get the Surah Aisha, Surah Fatima, the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many Christian people are very amazed when you give da'wah to a non-Muslim person, when they hear that in the Quran there's a whole chapter dedicated to Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha. This is a wonderful way of giving also the da'wah of deen to somebody. Explain to them that our Quran has got a special surah mentioned regarding her. And if you just read these two pages to a non-Muslim person, they get very amazed and very affected that how Allah Ta'ala has honored and respected Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he gave da'wah to his father. His father was under guidance. But ulama say, how much of respect, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, oh my beloved father. And in this way he gave da'wah to his father. And his father, even though he spoke very harsh to him, if you don't stop, I'm going to stone you to death. Just leave me now. So he said, Salamun alaikum, I'm leaving you now. But I will ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you, to give you hidayat, to give you guidance. Allah is very kind to me. And I'm leaving you and whatever you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll never be deprived when I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا أَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. When he left them, and whatever they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, in place of that, وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. He left a father who was an idol worshipper, who was completely away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in place of that, gave him children, who were Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Not only children, but the whole progeny, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, and then his son, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And it continued, how many Anbiya alayhimu salam came. When a man sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من ترك شيئا لله عوضه الله خيرا منه. The person who leaves out anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah definitely gives him something better in return. Some narrations say that he either gets the same thing back in the halal way, or the same whatever haram he leaves to Allah, so he gets it back in the halal way, or something better than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his forefathers who were idol worshippers. He left the place, Iraq, where they were idol worshippers. Allah Ta'ala gave him Sham, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave him Makkah Mukarramah, what Mubarak places. So a person who makes some qurbani, sacrifice in life, Allah is never, Imam Razi rahmatullahi says, مَا خَسِرَ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ. No one was ever ran at a loss when he dealt with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You deal with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah will definitely look after you, Allah will give a person back. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests a person to see if he's sincere, but then Allah bestows and blesses a person. Allah mentions the different other incidents of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on one hand, they were very pious people. As soon as the command of Allah ta'ala came, they heard it, they fell down and they accepted it. But after them, خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ, some people came, and two evil actions they had. One was they destroyed salat. And they didn't worry about their salat. They completely destroyed their salat. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they started following their desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ الْغَيَّةِ, they eventually will get the fire of Jahannam. Except a person where he makes tawbah and he does good actions and he's got iman, Allah will enter him into Jannah, and there won't be any destruction for them. Hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an ayat where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam to come to him much more often. Some ulama have mentioned this under the chapter, that always look for good company and pious company. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had so much of shock and desire for pious company and righteous company, that he wanted to be in the company of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he told Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, come more often to me. But Allah ta'ala revealed ayat of the Quran that no, we cannot come down except by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only when Allah commands us, then we can come down. I cannot even come down from my own. But it just shows the great desire which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the company of the righteous and the pious, despite being the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of the story, the end of the surah, Allah mentions that we all have to go over Jahannam eventually. This is a decision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who got taqwa and piety, we will save those people. And the zalims and oppressors, they will remain in Jahannam completely disgraced. So if a person wants to go over the bridge, over Sirat, you know, the main quality for a person to have is the quality of taqwa. Taqwa will take a person, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will take a person over the bridge into Jannah. The next surah is Surah Taha, and here in great detail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that how Allah's help and assistance came to him. First wahi and revelation comes to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Listen very attentively to the wahi and revelation which is coming to you. Ulama say this is among the adab and etiquette of a gathering. Listen carefully. Many times the person is sitting in front, he's making tasbih also, he's reading some ayat of the Quran. So this is against istima', it's against listening. The person does not get the full benefit of the majlis, the gathering. But if you never ever take out a tasbih in front of you're sitting in front of in a bayan, you're taking out a tasbih and you're reading your tasbih, it disturbs the speaker also, and it's against the adab and etiquette of ilm and knowledge. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to go to the Firaun, the Pharaoh of the time, the oppressor of the time. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi shrahli sadri. The person is going for gashwa, so normally we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that. Said, oh Allah, open up my heart for knowledge also, and for hilm and forbearance, so I can make sabr and make my matters easy, and make Harun alayhi salam, my brother, my assistant, to help and assist me, so we can make the zikr of Allah ta'ala together, and we can remember you in abundance. And then he said, remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what and what favors before that Allah had granted to him. Allah mentioned some of that. And Allah said, when you go now to Fir'aun, don't become lax in my zikr. And go to him and say to him, فَقُولَ لَوْ قَوْلَ لَيِّنًا, soft words, good words, even though he is the tyrant of the time. One person once was giving da'wat, he was being very harsh to the Khalifa of the time. So the Khalifa asked him, am I worse than Fir'aun? He said, no. He said, are you better than Musa alayhi salam? He said, no. He said, when Musa alayhi salam was greater than you, was sent to somebody worse than me, Fir'aun, and Allah commanded him, فَقُولَ لَوْ قَوْلَ لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَرُ وَيَخْشَى. Say to him, soft words, good words. So then, to a greater extent, you must speak to me in a nice way. Explain to me the matters of deen. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps he will take nasihat immediately. Or sometimes he doesn't immediately to take benefit. But slowly, slowly, the fear of Allah Ta'ala comes into a person. Drop by drop, a person, eventually changes come into a person. So this is the way Allah Ta'ala has mentioned of giving da'wat. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions his whole da'wat. And how eventually the magicians, the people who were supposed to be against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they eventually became his followers. And Fir'aun threatened them, he wanted to kill them. He said, you can do whatever you want to with us, but we don't mind, because we have to eventually leave this world. We'll have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, and Fir'aun and his people were they drowned and they were destroyed. Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel are given many favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manna and salwa, many other bounties, but unfortunately they broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started worshipping even in a calf, and the incident of this is mentioned in great detail, where eventually those people who had done such evil actions, they were punished. And Samiri was the leader. Allah Ta'ala gave him a punishment in his worldly life also, and he was destroyed. Coming to the end of the Farah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about Qiyamah, the life of the year after, and the incident of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So the angels were commanded to make sajda to him. They all made sajda except Iblis. And Allah Ta'ala told us that this is your enemy, and he must not take you out of Jannah. Otherwise you will fall into difficulty in this world. You have to make a lot of sacrifice and qurbani and work and all of these things. But Shaitan came and whispered to them, and he told him, I'll give you a tree which you will love forever and forever, and a kingdom which will never come to an end. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah said, فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. He forgot. He didn't find him. He was adamant to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a mistake. So they ate from the tree, and the effect of it was that the clothing became, they was removed. As we had mentioned earlier, that this is the first attack of Shaitan on human beings, to remove their clothing. And how? By the food which a person has, that also has an effect upon a person. And when the clothing is removed, then a person falls into every kind of immorality. Allah has given us this command for our clothing, our chastity, so that a person remains pure and chaste. So anyhow, but Adam alayhi salatu wasalam immediately made a mistake. He made tawbah and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let it go in this world, remember your enemy is Shaitan, and hidayat will come to me. You follow hidayat, you will never go misguided. You won't fall into problems. But if you turn away from my zikr, in this worldly life, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ, you will have a very straitened life. Even though you've got a lot of money in this world, but there's no contentment in a person's life. There isn't happiness in a person's life. Straitened life, then in the qabr, it's straitened life. And on the day of Qiyamah, that person will awake completely blind. So will ask, Allah, you see in this world, why am I blind now? Allah said, no, spiritually you are blind in this worldly life. The effect of it now on the day of Qiyamah has come that you are physically blind also. Allah protect and save us from this. And on the last page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we remain engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't stretch your eyes to all the things that we have given these people. It's only zahrat al-hayati dunya, it's plantations and the flowers of this worldly life. Flower remains beautiful for a few days, and then eventually it's completely destroyed. It's an examination in this worldly life. What's more important? وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, command your family members to perform salah, and remain steadfast yourself. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا, we are not asking you for your sustenance. We are the one who will grant you sustenance. When a person will perform his salah, one benefit of salah is Allah gives a person barakah and blessings. Even though you might be earning little, but Allah puts blessings in that. Because Allah is the one who is the giver of sustenance, and Allah makes it easy for a person to get his sustenance when a person is punctual with his salah. But not just to perform salah, as Hazrat is mentioning, but iqamat salah, to get perfection in a person's salah, to perform it with concentration and devotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يبعثن الله أقواما يوم القيامة في وجوههم النور على منابر اللؤلؤ يغزطهم الناس ليسوا بأنبياء ولا شهداء. فقال إعرابي حلهم لنا نعرفهم. قال هم المتحابون في الله من قبائل شتى وبلاد شتى يجتمعون على ذكر الله يذكرونه. رواه الطبراني. حضرت ابو الدرداء رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سے روایت ہے کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا قیامت کے دن اللہ جل جلالہ و عم نوالہ بعض لوگوں کا حشر اسی طرح فرمائیں گے کہ ان کے چہروں پر نور چمکتا ہوا ہوگا, وہ موتیوں کے ممبروں پر ہوں گے, وہ انبیاء اور شہداء نہیں ہوں گے. ایک دیہات کے رہنے والے صحابی نے عرض کیا یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان کا حال بیان کر دیجئے کہ ہم ان کو پہچان لیں. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا وہ لوگ ہوں گے جو اللہ جل جلالہ عم نوالہ کے محبت میں مختلف خاندانوں سے مختلف جگہوں سے آ کر ایک جگہ جمع ہو گئے ہوں اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کے ذکر میں مشغول ہوں. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will on the day of resurrection resurrect certain groups of people in such a state that their faces will be radiant with light. They will be sitting on pulpits of pearls and others will envy their lot. They will neither be from amongst the anbiya nor the shuhada. Someone asked, let us have more details about these people so that we may be able to recognize them. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, they will be those people who belong to different tribes and places, but assemble at one place for the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they engage in His dhikr. Once again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will on the day of resurrection resurrect certain groups of people in such a state that their faces will be radiant with light. They will be sitting on pulpits of pearls and others will envy their lot. They will neither be from amongst the Anbiya nor the Shuhada. Someone asked, let us have more details about these people so that we may be able to recognize them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, they will be those people who belong to different tribes and places but assemble at one place for the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engage in His dhikr.